All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, are you familiar with the world of competitive beards?
Kind of. Yeah, I'm aware that there are beard contests. I don't know that you could pay me money to go to them.
I don't understand it from a spectator perspective. That seems really weird to me. But we're here at one.
Okay.
You know, and what I've done is I bribed a bunch of the contestants to shave the name of different games into their beards.
Okay.
And we'll see which one wins, and that'll be the game we do.
Okay. I mean, I guess if everybody is operating under that, it'd be weird. It's like, okay, I'm supposed to sacrifice my placing for this weird little randomization scheme?
Well, they hide them. Oh. Like, it's a fancy beard, but then you can kind of see in the cursive.
Oh, it's like hiding a signature inside of a painting.
Yeah, or like those fake towns on maps.
Hmm, canary tracks.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got this can of Barbasol
all right.
for everybody here, and I'm going to pass it out to the guys here. All right, fellas, get to shave, and here's a big list of games we might do.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Oh, wait. Hey, there's nothing coming out of that can.
Yeah, that's not... I got the wrong can.
What? Why is it rattling? What the fuck's in there?
Dino DNA.
Ah, man.
Enzymes. I brought enzymes.
No, Gary.
I know.
It's the can
from Jurassic Park. I know, but I met Wayne Knight. And he gave it to me to leave him alone.
Okay.
You know, and it's just that I wanted to incorporate it in the show.
Okay. Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Yeah. Top Gun from the top. My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering, the only podcast that'll give you a little smooch on the forehead before you drift off to sleep.
That's just one of the services we provide.
Here, everybody prepare. If you're drifting off to sleep, get ready. There you are.
There you are. Yeah.
Yeah. Go to sleep.
Great. Our listenership is going to go down. Everybody just immediately falls asleep.
They already downloaded.
Okay. Yeah.
No, we give a shit. Cha-ching.
Cha-ching. We're talking about the SNES Jurassic Park game. This was demanded by Dylan, who says, "My favorite SNES RPG, or at least it would be, if you could save." Fun fact, this was my first ever game that I owned, with my mom giving it to me alongside my SNES when I was 6 years old in 1998. They actually beat it, they say. In spite of that, beat it on original hardware. I'm sure y'all can get some mileage out of that fact on Abject Suffering. We've established what little kids will do in the depths of their depravity, deprived of other options.
we can get some stuff out of that. But I will say, as much as we talked about Jurassic Park a lot and dinosaurs are a common digression, I love this game.
You do. You have talked about this in semi-glowing terms.
Yeah, I love this as a kid, and I've gone back to it, and I think it's really interesting.
Yeah.
Ocean Software, not a good company.
No.
You know, not a good developer. Every once in a while does something pretty neat. I think this game is really neat.
Mm-hmm.
Way neater than Eek the Cat.
it's wild how varied Ocean's output is, with the caveat being that the average is still low. Right?
The average is a really bad platformer.
Yeah.
Like almost always. And then they got the Jurassic Park license. They paid a lot for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like they took it seriously, and they didn't have very long to make it, and they put their A-team on it and made an interesting adaptation of the movie. Like, I like the Sega Jurassic Park just fine too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just kind of a platformer. This feels like you're doing Jurassic Park shit. Like, you have to get the computers online lock the pens.
Uh-huh.
You know, stuff like that. Yeah. You get to fire a rocket at a Compisaurus, like a dinosaur the size of a cat.
Yeah. Accidentally launch it at there. You get to get fucking bodied by a T-Rex by walking in the wrong direction.
That T-Rex will fuck you up.
Yes. Yeah. Took me a few tries not to walk south.
Yeah, yeah. That's a meat gate, a T-Rex meat gate.
That is the thing that is the most interesting about this is that it is open world.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's an open world mixed perspective.
Yeah.
Like Fester's Quest, kind of.
Fester's Quest is like a top-down zombies at my neighbors kind of thing. It has a very cartoony aesthetic as well. Mm-hmm. But then you go inside and you get like somewhere between like Goonies 2 and Friday the 13th and like a first-person Doom-alike kind of thing.
Yeah, like the SNES Doom.
Yeah.
You know, between that, like a very slow-moving but also slow-paced FPS section.
4 frames per second.
It's pretty rough.
Yeah.
Imagine if it ran well, though. Like, it would have been really cool.
Uh-huh.
And they're kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a little atmospheric.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you go outside and it's beautiful daylight. It's Zelda times. You're just fucking stomping on cat dinosaurs with bolos. Mm-hmm. And then you go inside and it's a little spooky.
Yep.
You know, stuff can sneak up on you and everything.
I shared in the Slack just a screenshot from the Wikipedia that has one of my favorite images of the first person kind of thing mm-hmm. with the Velociraptor, like obviously kind of like coming at you, but just in the screenshot, just like he's just like standing there looking into your goggles saying hello.
It's real cute. It's a dog begging for food.
Yeah.
This is if you were eating a sandwich and the dog would like some sandwich. That's what this Velociraptor is doing.
If you can spare it anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. I just, a sandwich for a Velociraptor.
There's something that's very cute about it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think this is firmly interesting
mm-hmm.
as a Super Nintendo game for its vintage.
Yeah.
Like in 1993.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty neat.
You have just a bunch of objectives that you're supposed to knock out. Mm-hmm. You will find, like you'll get comms from, you know, characters in the, you know, from the movie telling you what you had to do. When they reissued this for Jurassic Park's 30th anniversary, Limited Run Games did, they didn't have the likenesses for any of the actors. So they just took those portraits out. So no 16-bit Laura Dern.
Nope. You need the 16-bit Laura Dern or to find John Hammond's key card.
Yes.
As you find this, this mix of kind of adventure action
mm-hmm.
through this, like I think is neat. And a weird thing for this show, like this game was pretty well loved.
Yeah.
You know, there's some low card reviews, but there are also some real high reviews.
Yeah.
This as well. Like this was well thought of.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that coterie of mid 90s games where they're based on properties where the Genesis and Super Nintendo ones are totally different games,
mm-hmm.
But both really loved.
Yeah.
Like we have this, we have Aladdin, we have Lion King, we have Shadowrun. Mm-hmm. Like there are a bunch of games where the Genesis and Super Nintendo versions were just worlds apart, but interesting.
Yeah.
And decent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both of them.
As far as I can tell, the only thing stopping this from working on the Sega Genesis is the controller.
Yeah.
It takes too many buttons. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and just it's a licensing thing. Like mm-hmm. a different company bought the Jurassic Park license for Sega.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they piecemealed it out.
Yeah. We covered that. Like that was episode 6. If you want to listen to us from 12 years ago, that was 2013, yeah. I think. Yeah.
Wild. You know, and probably made some of the same jokes.
Probably. Yeah.
You know, I like Jurassic Park and I like dinosaurs.
Yeah.
That was probably when those new ones were coming out, but probably not the second new one. That's kind of a survival horror with cloning.
I don't think the Jurassic World to the Lost Key came out or what. Yeah.
The DNA enzyme.
The enzyme protocols.
Enzyme protocol. The genome factor.
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't have Jurassic World. And what are they up to now? Jurassic Universe or something?
I think it's not Jurassic Park in space just yet.
Uh-huh.
That is the implication for the next one. It's like, it really seems like they're going to keep zooming out.
Yeah.
We have to at least get Jurassic Solar System.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like they did with Dino Mars. Crisis 3. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's not that much to say about this game other than that, like when I see it, I want to play it.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not good. Like it's got a lot of problems.
Yeah.
But I think it's fun. It's neat.
I agree. You know, without wanting to go and play all of it. It was one that I felt like I played it and I got it while appreciating like, oh yeah, this is doing stuff that just kind of wasn't done on the SNES.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a contest in the United Kingdom or in the United States version of this
mm-hmm.
Here where there was the great dino egg hunt and players had to search the game for 8 letters that are found around the park. If you don't know about this, it's fucking insane. these letters, because you're just walking around and you'll just, there's just an H on the ground, like an errant H.
Uh-huh.
Did you find one of the, like an H?
No, I didn't know.
Or an E. It's real weird. Like, it's just like, oh, I can't pick it up. It doesn't spell Jurassic Park
nope.
or anything. It spells Dr. Horner, which is an actual paleontologist who consults on the movie. After the game came out, somebody actually correctly guessed this and got $5,000.
Huh.
Got a $5,000 check from Ocean Software.
So just like, oh, find enough of the letters and let us know what hidden anagram we put in the game.
Yeah. But they're just game assets.
Yeah.
And like that only worked in 1993 or that happened in 1994, the year after this came out.
Mm-hmm.
Now when you play the game, there's just letters.
Yeah. Was the contest advertised or was this like somebody who is like fucking losing their mind and saying like, hey, is this what these letters are?
And so, yeah, so somebody full tinfoil. No, they advertised. It was in magazines. I remember seeing it.
Okay. That was a thing for a while. I remember when Vector Man came out, they sold it on the back of, like, there was a contest if you beat it and sent in, like, if you were one of the first people to beat it, you know, or to send in, like, a screenshot of the title screen, you would get $25,000. There were like, it's like amusement park stuff. I was like, oh man, I'm just, you know, super interested in that. Obviously it didn't work out for me, but yeah, just a real lack of confidence. Like, okay, we need to give people prizes to play this kind of mediocre, but visually interesting game.
I love that shit.
Yeah.
Like anything from the Sword Quest family,
right?
Like the Activision patches for Atari are cool,
mm-hmm.
you know, and obviously they're really iconic if you look them up.
Yeah.
But like a Jeweled Scepter, that's when it gets good.
Yeah, that's when you get into the cocaine ideas side of things.
Big time. Yeah. And a check for $5,000 is pretty like that. Not saying I'd turn it down, but it's not that grandiose. It's not a scepter.
No, it's just kind of like $5,000, which is not nothing, but I don't know.
In 1993 money as well.
Literal treasure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not treasure. It's not diadem tier.
Now, as for wands and scepters,
yeah.
Let me see what $5,000 was then. Talk while I do this.
Oh, I was going to take us into a digression, so that's tricky.
You were. So that would be like getting $11,213.15, which is
pretty good for doing a word scramble.
Yeah,
that was smuggled into a game.
Yeah,
I suppose
that would get you a pretty nice used car back then, I think.
A really nice used car.
Yeah.
Like that could get you an okay used car now.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple lots by my house. That could get you like back in the day, like a certified refurbished like BMW or something.
Yeah. Like a very fancy used car or like the best computer known to man.
Yeah.
Like you could play Doom 2. we can go back to Jurassic Park.
Okay.
But I want to get this anecdote out while it's still stuck in my head.
Okay.
Two things. Both related to the same thing. A new Korean fried chicken place opened by my house.
All right.
And two things are noteworthy about this. Three things. One's very minor. One, they have a robot waiter, which is a popular thing
in
Asian restaurants now.
Yeah.
But they only have one.
All right.
So we were just watching it, eating, waiting for our food, watching waiters come out, do restaurant shit. And then a robot waiter comes out and brings somebody their food and then goes in back. And then we don't see it again. I don't know how you get the robot waiter.
No.
So that was weird. We got a waiter who looked like Bevers from Broad City.
Okay.
I don't know how you get the robot waiter. That's the minor thing.
All right. Is it okay? So I went to a ramen restaurant. We're just kind of reconnecting with an old friend late last year, and they had the robot waiter. I had never seen a robot waiter. Mm-hmm. Like out here in my dumb fuck caveman, backward religious, whatever shit you're gonna say about where I live.
Caveman.
Yeah,
you got it.
Yeah. It's really fun. Just like the way that it is, just a cart for trays, but they have like a little face on it.
It was kind of a shelf that just moves around.
Yes. Did you place your orders at a counter or did you like place orders on, because we placed our orders on the phone. Like we used a QR code and like that's how it knew what table to come out to.
No, it was we regular waiter. There were a bunch of regular waiters and waitresses.
Huh.
You know, but then also we wrote like an errant bot.
Were they just letting the waiters know like, hey, TikTok?
That's what I was thinking. I was like, you know, I'm not for robot waiters. I mean, I suppose all those waiters create jobs servicing the waiters. Waiters. I'd learn to code on the waiters.
Yeah. That was literally a thing, just as they're, you know, as the administration is scrambling about the tariffs and talking about bringing manufacturing home, like somebody said, yes, and we're going to bring all this manufacturing in and it's going to be AI robots who are going to do it. And it's like, well, where are all the jobs going to come from? Well, they're going to need people to program the robots.
Yeah. You're going to have to service those robots. Being sarcastic for anybody to listen.
Yes.
Yeah. So just one robot there. That was weird. Second thing, they had something called cheeseling fries.
Okay.
Which sounds like a portmanteau of cheese and quizzling.
It does.
So like a betrayal fry.
I'm imagining like a little cheese gremlin called a cheeseling.
It does sound like a cheese gremlin. Like it'd be a distant cousin of the crunchlings.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. For when Captain Crunch goes savory.
Yeah. We finally get like something in a dinner cereal for Crunch.
Oops, all sauerkraut balls. Yeah.
I would like to have a savory Captain Crunch. And you can do that because of maritime law.
Okay.
Cheeseling fries are French fries.
Okay.
Coated in a powdered blend of cheddar and mascarpone.
Okay.
So savory and sweet with their wing sauce over it.
Huh.
Drizzled over it. The noteworthy thing about cheeseling fries is I didn't think I could still be surprised by French fries at 44 in 2025.
Okay.
But sincerely, new French fry dropped. Like, it is a new type of fry. It's so different. It doesn't feel like I prefer this to normal fries. You don't eat them the same way.
No.
It's not the same thing at all.
I mean,
fry dropped.
The fact that it is drizzled in a sauce makes it sound like a textural nightmare. Like, you could not order these things. Like, this is not a portable food. It is more in the poutine.
It's really messy.
Yeah.
There's not that much sauce on it, but the powder gets on your fingers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a fork fry kind of scenario. It's a dish.
So I'm looking at this, like that is less of a, it's not a, like a Korean, is it Korean?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. It is not an Asian food thing. Apparently like it's a barbecue thing. So like that is from the barbecue side of the fried chicken kind of deal.
When I look at, well, so if you're seeing BBQ chicken for that, that's the name of the place.
Okay. Yeah.
So BB.Q, the worst SEO in the world, is the name of this Korean chicken.
Okay, so like this thing.
It's called sweet Korean snow cheese is what the actual flavor is.
Okay. Huh. Yeah. So like this is proprietary on their part.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's their version of snow cheese, which is a Korean thing. Mm-hmm. Sweet Korean snow cheese.
Huh. That sounds really interesting. Do you get a choice of what sauce?
No.
No, that's just their sauce.
No, it's just their, and there's not very much of it on there. It's just enough to like,
give it
and
a
that
blue,
sauce
give
also
zap.
Has, get it a zap. And that sauce also has sweet and savory elements. There's like cinnamon in it.
Huh.
And stuff. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
So new fry dropped.
New fries.
Third thing, the Bevers waiter I had a social interaction I want to run by you.
Okay.
Our waiter, and then also the waiter for the table across from us. Table across from us. A Korean family,
okay,
many generations represented, comes out with a stack of wings for somebody who goes, hey, these are your fire wings. Very nice Korean grandma says, you should get your fire extinguisher.
Okay, fun joke.
Pretty cute, right? Mm-hmm. Bevers goes, yeah, I'm actually going to go get the bathroom ready.
Oh, my God.
Full volume to the restaurant.
Oh, my God. No. Buddy. Buddy.
Yeah, it's about diarrhea.
Yeah. It's a bit.
It's a little diarrhea joke in the restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, we're going to go and lay down a tarp in there because I know you can't control your bowels, old lady.
Yeah, you're going to do a paint job.
Yeah.
You're going to do an absolute fucking paint job because these wings are so spicy. I'm a waiter.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to go prepare the bathroom for your paint job. You know,
it's kind of an I think you should leave thing where it's just very, somebody makes just a very innocent offhanded joke and somebody like leans really far into it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Her saying you should get the fire extinguisher ready charmed me a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're in your cute. Fire wings. Like, oh, fire. You know, it means different things, right?
It follows, you know. But then him just immediately escalating it to the poop zone.
It's like... to this, I'm assuming, visibly older lady?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty incredible.
How did she react? Did you clock her reaction?
No reaction. Huh. The whole family kind of got a little, you know, kind of giggled a little, you know, polite laughed.
Okay.
And that's it. Got some polite laughs, and then Bevers went back into the kitchen, presumably in shame.
Man, I hope that the beverage, you say beverage waiter?
Bevers? You haven't watched, you should watch Broad City.
Okay.
Broad City's really good. That's a character on it. He looked exactly like Bevers.
Okay. All right. No. Sorry. I got confused about that. Yeah.
No, okay.
I hope you learned from that, because if there's anything that you need to learn from, you know, client customer interaction, it is to match energy.
Yes.
You know?
Well, there's also, I think, a simpler lesson there as well.
Yeah.
Which is that getting diarrhea from spicy food is something that we all treat like the bag of liquor or the bottle of liquor under the paper bag, right?
Yeah.
Like if you're in a hot wing restaurant, you know that spicy food does that. We all know it.
Yeah.
We just don't talk about it. There's a polite little shield. You don't bring up the diarrhea that a restaurant gives you at the restaurant.
You need to ask yourself if you're crossing a line that is normally only crossed by hot sauces that they keep that they keep on high shelves so kids can't look at them.
Then there aren't restaurants that serve those.
No.
You know, we have a polite fiction when you go to a restaurant that, yes, like, when you go to a restaurant, you're basically entering into a poop contract.
Yeah. Right? Like, hey, boss, you know, like, you can pay me on a net 30. You're going to give me the raw material for this, and I'm going to make a real good poop out of it eventually.
Yeah, eventually, I'm going to digest this. I'm going to take the good parts of it, and then something's going to happen that we don't want to talk about.
Yeah.
Waiter saying it while bringing you your food, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just very different.
Yeah. Just like bringing out, you know, your Diet Cokes or whatever, saying, and enjoy a nice bubbling cup of piss in training.
Like, yeah, exactly. Piss Junior.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got some apprentice piss coming up in the farm leagues.
Yeah.
Right here.
This guy's been shadowing real piss all day.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason to cross into the bathroom line.
Yeah. It's very surprising. He said it with a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
He said it like he was plus one in the joke. It was very shocking to see.
No, I mean, okay, you're shocking. You're making it sound like you dropped your monocle.
Oh, my monocle was dropped. It was just like me and Liv, you know, when I say shocking, me and Liv gave each other a look like, holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like, oh man, what a fumble. Like you watch somebody eat shit. Yeah.
I also didn't want to be reminded of diarrhea.
No.
I wasn't having super spicy wings, and I don't really have that reaction to spicy food. Like, I like spicy food and it doesn't tend to give me diarrhea. But I don't like, and I'm not squeamish. I'm talking about diarrhea right now. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't. Like, while I'm eating from somebody who just handled my food, it's different.
You know, I don't want to be thinking about diarrhea while I am eating is the thing. And, you know, crossing the bathroom line, right?
Yeah. Like, call me fucking crazy.
Yeah.
You know, at that point, just serve the wings in the toilet. You know, like, just here you go. I dumped them into the toilet already. Just go for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here, eat these out of the top.
Let's eat these
out of the tank.
Yeah, it's clean water, I assure you.
Yeah. Yeah, we filled the toilet tank here with hot sauce, with our own signature sauce, and dipped the wings in it.
Yeah,
you can reverse cowgirl this toilet and have yourself a wing feast.
You can ride this toilet like a motorcycle, vroom vroom.
Yeah, mustache rides free. We've drawn a mustache on the toilet. Flip it around like a guidance counselor and eat out of the tank. You piece of shit.
Yeah.
That's why we do at BBQ Chicken, the worst SEO restaurant name in the world.
Yeah. Huh. I will side with you on this one. Not the energy to bring, I think.
Yeah, especially I appreciate that.
Especially to an older person. And especially if that's not like the vibe. Like if somebody's walking into Dick's Last Resort or whatever.
You're expected to. Like most of their menu items are named after what happened to the bathroom after you have them.
Yes, yes.
You know?
Or various STDs that might be associated possibly with
what it is. Yeah. A lot of syphilis burger.
A lot of crabs. Shit. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of crabs. A lot of crab puns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would put money that there's a crab pun. If Dick's Last Resort sells anything with the food crab in it, that the menu description has something like the second most fun way to get crabs.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
You won't need shampoo to get rid of these.
Yeah.
Just something real low effort like that.
Yeah. Try, but it won't be good because it's food.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. That person definitely crossed a line. I'm sorry, I can't like one up that, really.
No, well, it's okay. You got to go to more rude restaurants.
Yeah. Like, we went to places. We went to places, but like when we were in Milwaukee, but like were mostly fine.
Yeah, no, nobody was a character.
No.
You know, we didn't have any characters.
I accidentally ordered a soup entree in addition to my actual entree.
You did?
But we just shared it. We just shared it at the table, so it was fine.
You were very confident in saying, this comes with soup and I want this soup.
Yes.
But it did not come with soup.
It comes with a specific kind of soup. It comes with broth with some leaves in it.
And you upgraded.
Yeah. Well, and that's the problem. Cause like I went in there with that order loaded for bear, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it was a kind of food that I do not eat very often. We went to a Laotian place, and you know, have not had Laotian food. I scoped out the menu. I walked in knowing what I wanted and I made an assumption about that particular entree that came with a side of soup, that should have been clarified.
Did you get a choice?
Yeah.
No soup. Well, I mean, I guess it shows you not to come in with the loaded, you know,
Gary,
the loaded
Gary,
preconception.
It's kind of the only way that I can go out to a restaurant anymore.
Ah, we got to cut you free.
But just,
we got baby birds got to fly.
I know, but like, okay. So you don't have this. You don't have like, I need to just like, as we're picking a place, I want to know what I'm going to have. Cause it can't be a game day decision.
No. I choose food from menus.
I choose food from menus too, Gary. See, they put them on the website.
I guess when I'm presented with the menu.
Oh.
Yeah. The general order of operations is pick a restaurant.
Okay.
Yeah. Go into the restaurant. Somebody comes in. They make a horrible diarrhea joke.
Yes.
Hand me a menu. I look at the menu and then decide what I'd like.
Okay.
Sometimes I do have a crave.
Uh-huh.
You know, like I want a patty melt.
Mm-hmm.
And like, let's go somewhere where I can get a patty melt. I would like to have a patty melt.
Yeah.
You know, but generally I look at the menu.
Mm-hmm. I don't need to look at a menu if I'm going to like a bog standard restaurant, you know, like at an Applebee's, I've got a pretty good idea of what I'm going to get at an Applebee's, right?
What's your AB's order?
I don't know. Probably a burger or something. Like,
yeah,
you know what's going to be available there. I've never been to a Laotian restaurant. Part of saying like, hey, this seems like a good idea. And, you know, the four of us agreeing to go there was like, okay, I want to make sure that there's something there for me. Possibly I'm not as picky as I used to be, but it is nice and relieves anxiety for me to know that there is something waiting for me there.
Yeah, I'm just teasing you. Also, okay. I don't think there's anything actually wrong with how you order food.
Gary, I really don't like how you are coming in here and making fun of me for my coping strategies is the thing.
Yeah, it is ableist of me. you won't say it, I will.
You know, I can't be in society without menus online.
Yeah, and just anything that is a front to that is a pretty big... pretty big intersectionality loss.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things, the reason why I was not intimidated by the Laotian place is that I live near a Asian food zone.
Yeah.
And one of the things I've discovered is that there's so much crossover. Like, even if you get fairly authentic, that place was fairly authentic seeming. They still had like a version of Pad Thai.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a lot of Asian restaurants are kind of fusion restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them, but a lot of them are.
Yeah. And what I got that wasn't the very delicious tamarind pork soup was basically just a stir fry. Like I ordered it off of their stir fry menu, you know?
Yeah.
That is the trick. But also anxiety is not reasonable, Gary, and I need you to stop confronting me with this.
No, it's just fun to tease you about. There's a tweet or a Blue Sky post about it where like somebody was overhearing people in an Indian restaurant, like acting like it's the weirdest food in the world. And he's like, calm down. That's an onion. These are peas. Like, and that's a little bit how I feel about.
Yeah.
That is the illogical extreme.
Yes.
That I'm making fun of. On this thing, you're not doing that.
Yeah, I'm also arguing kind of with my mom on this who like gets real, like, you know, makes fun of me for having been a picky eater, but like if confronted with a non-standard cuisine, gets real like, I don't know, man, those peas don't look like the peas that I know.
Yeah, I just fucking go back in time and kill your mom with a plate of lumpia. Like your mom's gonna be like, oh, have you come back to kill me with yon Dorito?
Yeah, I also get the, oh, but you always made me make you chicken tenders. And like, well, yeah, you didn't have to, is the thing. Yeah, I was a child and you were an adult.
Yeah, I was a child. That's, you make the food for me.
Yeah.
That was the deal. You know, that's what we did.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a bad move to be like, I actually resented a lot of that. Like in retrospect, I really resented making those tendies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tendies are so easy to make.
I know. Right.
You should have been like a picky eater who was like, I want fucking lobster Thermidor. You know, I want one perfect risotto. You fucking donkey.
Beef bourguignon. Like,
yeah.
Woman.
Like, yeah. No.
Yeah. No. You know, the little kid foods, notably low effort.
Well, and it's also a thing about little kids' food. You know, as somebody who likes being a relatively adventurous eater, by which I mean I don't like everything.
Yeah.
I'll try everything, though.
Uh-huh.
You know, so like I'm not a big seafood guy generally, but I've tried all the stuff. Like I've tried oysters and sea urchin and all that shit. I just don't like them very much.
Mm-hmm.
I understand like being a very picky eater. I do think that like sometimes you can limit your horizons.
Yes.
That way. There's a lot of delicious food out there and you're kind of closing yourself off culturally sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way to appreciate a culture.
Yes.
But I will say the flip side of that is all of those little kid foods are fucking delicious.
It's the thing, right? Scientists made them to,
yes,
to taste good. Like every little kid food no little kid food occurs in nature. It is designed by men in lab coats who want you to eat that forever.
Yes.
Yes.
And like when people are like, oh, you know, making fun of chicken tenders, like chicken tenders are fucking good.
That's the thing.
Like you can do a lot of different dips for them. Like they take many sauces.
Yeah.
Chicken tenders are very good.
Mm-hmm.
Like if it's the only thing you eat, maybe try some other stuff.
Yeah. It seems, you know, it seems a little bit limiting, but like come to it.
Well, well-balanced diet can have a tender.
Yeah. The thing about a picky eater responds well to pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I say this as somebody who has, from where I was, greatly expanded.
Yeah.
You know,
I watched you eat pho last year.
I fucking love pho. I ate pho the first time I went out. The first time I had Vietnamese food, Gary, was pho at Luk Lac out there. Yeah.
And pho sometimes has like intestines and shit in it.
It can be
an adventurous food.
I didn't order the intestine kind, but yes.
Well, yeah, like sometimes you the trick with pho is you can't get house special.
Right.
Because that's going to be tendon city.
So much tendon. Like,
yeah. It's going to be fucking like a Prefontaine level of tendon in your pho.
just all ligament, please.
Yes.
No fork, no chopsticks.
No, just I'm going to draw myself in the ligaments.
Yeah, tie my hands behind my back. We're going in.
Please. Yeah. And like I've had the super authentic pho.
Yeah.
Like with that and stuff. I just don't like tripe.
Yeah.
You know, again, like, you know, it's super cool. I'm trying to differentiate myself from other judgy eaters.
Yeah. I also,
I don't know if I'm being successful at
I'm also it. Not, it's, I'm not feeling genuinely judged, right?
No, like, I didn't think you were. Well, yeah. If I judge you, like we eat together.
Yeah.
With stuff, it'd be weird if I was just like, yeah, man, get fucked eating that kind of chicken wing.
Yeah. It's like, you feel awkward asking for a banh mi with no mayo. So you got the pho this time, even though that doesn't make sense for this time of day. Fuck you.
You mean that's not the right wine pairing for this? Like it's not,
yeah.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Food is just good. Like I don't fuck with people's food preferences generally.
No. Yeah. And like, if somebody says they have a texture thing, I'm not going to look sideways at it.
No, I'm not looking sideways at it. I do think that sometimes, I bet you people can kind of get into a rut.
Yes.
You know, like assuming you have a texture thing, like you have a texture thing, maybe it's worth revisiting every once in a while, like every couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, I eat watermelon every couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like watermelon. I still don't like it, but I'm like, maybe that'll change, you know, and just kind of like checking in on a thing or like maybe this has enough mixed texture.
Yeah.
So maybe this does have a texture that you don't like, but there are other textures going on that'll make it kind of work.
Yeah.
You know, worth trying. But I think once you've tried it, you've given it a fair shake.
Yeah.
What I don't think is that this idea that you have to like make yourself like shit.
No.
You know, like that's crazy. I've known people who have that attitude. It comes up a lot with booze.
Oh yeah.
You know, but it happens with, you know, seafoods and exotic, you know, foie gras, shit like that.
Yeah. Yeah. When you get into stuff that you can identify at a glance, like what that actually is. So like, yes. I'm not crazy about tongue, right?
Yeah. No, I tried it. Mm-hmm. It tastes like worse beef. Yeah. You know, it's weird texture beef. It's not better. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to have tongue. You know, for me, mm-hmm. like, I don't understand what the appeal is other than just kind of like, oh, I'm eating tongue. Yeah. You know, like a little naughty.
You think you're better than me?
Yeah, I'm eating goose liver. This goose was tortured.
Yeah, you can taste the sorrow is the thing about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Mmm. Veal of, yeah. Tongue veal. Yeah. Mm-mm.
No, not at all. So, yeah.
I do want to eat dinosaur, though, bringing it back.
Oh, man, dinosaur.
Because it's probably like lean chicken.
I mean, you could probably get a lot of that effect by eating alligator. Because aren't alligators living fossils?
Yeah, alligator, and they also taste similar to chicken, which is how I assume.
Yeah, alligator tastes like a little bit like kind of fishy chicken.
Yeah. 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 Alligator's not bad.
Yeah.
You can do alligator. But again, you run into the like, why am I seeking this out?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But eating dinosaur would be fun, you know, and there's a part of me that wants to eat some elephant. Like, yeah. I wouldn't kill an elephant for it. But no. if there was some elephant already killed and it was just going to go to waste.
Right? I know we're up on time.
Yes, we are.
Last thing I want to leave you with, it's fucking nuts. Uh-huh. That's on subject of this. It's not in Jurassic Park. Me and Liv watch this YouTube channel called Dancing Bacons. It's a guy who lives in Malaysia, I think, and his girl, and they go around tasting food.
Okay.
So just a low effort YouTube, like, what are McDonald's like in Malaysia? Oh, this person has gone to this night market. This person goes to a bunch of vending machines when they're visiting Japan. Get to see stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Charming. Fucking kid you not. The last vending machine video he did, he was in Japan.
All right.
I'm not trying to make a culturally relativistic, insensitive point. I'm going to add elements to this until you off board.
Okay.
Okay. Element one, vending machine. Okay.
Okay.
Element two, horse.
All right. So that's probably my offboarding point. I am not naive enough to think that I have not ingested horse.
Yes. There are two more elements.
Okay.
Three, sashimi.
Oh, okay. Wait, so raw horse meat?
Raw horse.
Okay.
From a vending machine. And then four, blind box. You don't know what kind of raw horse you get.
I need to see the graphic design on this vending machine so fucking much.
Check it. It's Dancing Bacon's latest or the one right before it. It's his last vending machine video. It's nuts. Like the idea of sidling up to a vending machine, putting $20, like the horse is expensive apparently, and getting a random horse sashimi.
Yeah.
You don't even get to choose which raw horse you get.
No, not at all.
That to me was a lot. I was like, that feels beyond the pale to me.
Did they just not feel like blowing money on the little buttons that let you select which one? Did they just load them in linearly?
No, I think that he chose, because it was in Japanese, I couldn't read it.
Right.
But he chose the blind box one.
Okay.
Like there was a way to get the kind of a horse sashimi roulette.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Huh. I'm looking at this vending machine. It's very plain. I was picturing something like in a very like chibi horse, like in the process of like carving itself up and serving it to somebody. Like you sometimes like see at a barbecue restaurant. Yeah.
Goodbye pony.
Yeah. Goodbye pony. Like,
yeah, goodbye horses.
That's what it's called. Goodbye pony.
Yeah. Goodbye pony.
I think horses are too majestic to eat, and that is naive of me, but
I just don't have any interest in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I have a moral problem with eating horses. If I was raised to eat them, I'd be fine with it. And I don't care if anyone else does it, but why would I seek out horse?
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that I know is good, even in the, probably in the vending machine sashimi kind of deal. I do not know the Japanese history of eating horse though.
I wouldn't know how to gauge it.
Yeah.
You know, like, again, this is something that is normal in other culture that's odd for our culture. Yes. Not trying to just like camp out on that, but
no.
I wouldn't know where to begin with what makes good horse sashimi. You know,
I think they're banking on that for a lot of their appeal.
Well, but if you put a gun to my head and made me guess, I would say it probably doesn't come out of a vending machine.
I would say if I was looking for a good horse sashimi, I would go to a place where I could see the man who makes it.
Go to the horse. I would go directly to the horse. Yeah. Take a fucking bite. You know? Yeah. I don't know. I think I would need a little bit more reassurance.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm not disgusted by it. I'm just more confused is the thing. There are a lot of yeses, a lot of yeses here. How did he like it? How did he like it?
He liked it. He likes everything.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, he eats a lot of weird stuff. So like, he's real into like, oh, this is this is tongue. This is a tentacle. This is, you know, things like that.
Yeah. Down the hatch.
The novelty's a big driver for Dancing Bacons.
Yeah.
So.
Huh.
What should people do if they like this show?
If people like this show, they should back us on Patreon. That is patreon.com/duckfeedtv. There you get bonus episodes of this show. There are 200 of them waiting for you there. There you get whole bonus shows like Unfilmable. We are this month putting out an episode about Creep 2 if you are interested in Mark Duplass.
It features the creep.
It does have the creep in it. And you see him right away. The payoff on the creep. This isn't a Surf Dracula kind of thing.
No. You definitely see creep right away.
Yeah. And, you know, you get to support us. That's, you know, the way we heat our houses and stuff.
Yeah. Let's keep doing this show.
Yes.
So quite literally. You can also leave us range reviews on Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict. You can tell your friends. You can post about us on internet. And you can join us and thank you, our producer, Gwen.
Thank you, Gwen.
Yeah. And until next time, what should they do?
Until next time. Hey, Gwen, just kidding. Delete this episode.